This is the Kindness and Happiness Connection with Dr. Ilya Gorgoris, the Happiness Doctor, and Randy McNeely, the Kindness Giver. Join us weekly with our invited guests as we share actionable kindness and happiness tips, insights, and inspiration to promote personal and professional well-being. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast. I'm Randy McNeely, the Kindness Giver. I'm your host and normally joined by my co-host, Dr. Ilya Gorgoris, but he is off in Greece right now, and he's decided he needs to have some fun and not join us today. And actually, no, he had some unexpected visitors, so he's taking care of them, being the good host that he is. I am thrilled today to have the opportunity to be joined by an amazing man named Joy Abdullah. And this man, we've had him on as a guest before. We're so grateful to have the opportunity to have you back again today, Joy. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to jump into introducing you here, but I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
I should be the one saying thank you for your kindness. It's an honor to be back as a guest again on the Kindness and Happiness show. It's a pleasure, Randy. Go ahead.
Just a little bit about Joy. 30 years of experience in marketing leadership roles across Southeast Asia has established one important insight for him: the importance of people in the success of an organization. You know, I love that. We're going to have to talk more about that. When it comes to people, to giving our attention to them, we're influenced by the context, technology, and value that a brand communicates. He understands that the continuous change in human behavior allows us to connect. And that's what brings about an effective and emotive marketing strategy, which is people-centric. He's all about people. And that's what we're all about here on this podcast. So we're going to talk a lot about how to connect with people. And his business, I love this, is called Humanizing Business. Seeing the human is what he's all about, seeing the people. And he's a B2B marketing consultant. He services businesses and CEOs and their teams to help them transform their marketing by creating emotional connectivity, which enables them to, or empowers them to achieve growth through his Triple M strategy framework. You can learn more about Joy on LinkedIn. He's an amazing man. Thank you again, Joy, for joining us today. So appreciate you.
My pleasure, Randy. Thank you for having me back. It's an honor.
It's nice and early where I am. It's 6 o'clock in the morning where I am, and it's 7 o'clock in the evening, 7:15 in the evening, and he's in Kuala Lumpur.
That's right.
A long distance conversation today, but so thankful for technology that enables us to be able to do this. So I want to start out with the same question that we always start out with for all of our guests. And we ask this question, you know, this is the Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast. We're in the business of promoting happiness and well-being personally and professionally. So how do kindness and happiness tie in to your life personally and professionally, Joy?
I'm glad you started with that. And I'm glad and really delighted to be on Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast, because the thing that is going to drive the world, and why I'm saying this umbrella statement, drive the world, is people. And the thing that's going to drive people is going to be their well-being. I'm going to go out on a limb and say 99% of us 7.6 billion people really don't care or look after our own well-being. And I say this from my life experience, because I'm at a point in age where I'm quite far down. I'm 3 innings down in terms of the game. So I've just got a last inning left, if I'm right, in my baseball terminology, of playing this out. And it's all about kindness and happiness as an individual that comes out in behavior, that comes out in your mindset, because I believe in what we think is what we do. And it's something that I'll share later, how we're taking it to the workplace. And the same thing as a leader ripples out professionally. So personally, when you are kind to yourself and when you are happy, Now, both of these we find very hard, and this is what makes up well-being. To me, well-being has three buckets. It has health, wealth, and relationship. In health, we have everything in that bucket that we call physical health, spiritual health, mental health, emotional health. You name it, you've got it. And you've got a ton of noise happening there. For many of us, simple citizens, going about our daily life, engineers, doctors, whatever we are professionally, sometimes caring for ourselves, that health, comes last on the list of everybody. I got to look after my boys. I got to look after my wife. I got to look after my, you know, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, business, boss, co-worker. And you give 19 hours out of the 24 hours to others. And then when you're back home, you're worse than a wet dog or cat out in the rain coming home. You don't have the last bit of energy. So the short answer is this. Well-being, understanding well-being is what brings health, happiness, comfort, and feeling good. I sum this up. It's in my LinkedIn profile. It's all about feeling good individually. Now, it's very hard when we feel good. You find it very hard to actually be very competitive or very crass or very, you know, road rage-ish, if I may call it. I'm exaggerating, but when you feel good about yourself, all you want to do and all you will do is your behavior will ripple out of goodness. So you, I'll use the English word help, but you actually are not helping. You're just simply doing what comes naturally to you. You serve that goodness up and go away because you're not expecting anything in return. So how do we do this? And we've all come through this whole terrible period of a year and a half and ongoing. Well-being is a cause that's very, very dear to me. And when I started my humanizing business, and we'll talk about that, I was very clear that I want to do social responsibility and build something about well-being. But I don't have the expertise. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or, you know, a neuro trainer.
Not a counselor, not certified in those kind of things.
Correct. Correct. I went out and as I was doing my work of marketing for businesses, right, I had a brilliant business who approached me first as a consultant to help them with their marketing. And as I was doing their marketing, we sat down one fine day and I suddenly said, hey, hang on, I see what you're doing and you're in neuro-linguistic programming and there's something here that connects with me. And boom, we decided to just simply, no cost, no charge, we just put it out there and said we're taking it to organizations, a well-being 45-minute workshop that just simply gives you easy to do. All we can do is share the way forward. We can tell you here's how you go. You take this bus or this flight or this ship and go from destination A to destination B. The choice of getting into one of those transportations and actually taking the road is yours. We can't do that for you. So we created that. That's one. Second point is that the reason I drive that well-being forward professionally is because the more I interact in my B2B world, I see CEOs and professionals all being very stressed. And, you know, they have this stress and anxiety from various reasons. I'm not getting into, we all have it, right? Whether it's financial, whether it's a stress of executive pressure, whatever it is, but there's stress, there's something in the road, something, the meeting online on a Zoom meeting didn't go well, or my cat filter came up by wrong and everything just ticks me off. So we've got stress and anxiety and we don't have this ability to be comfortable, healthy, and happy. Let me clarify. Being comfortable today is actually looked at as being dirty because it's like if you're comfortable, you're not going to grow. On the contrary, I'd like to say, when your heart, soul, and body are comfortable, that means your self-image to you, your self-awareness, you value who you are. Hey, look, I'm not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, even at my age. I'm not going to be like him as he is currently. The question is, do I want to? I don't. I'm very happy how I am the way I am. Why? And it'll come into a little bit later. I'm joy. And I'll explain that down the line. But so when I see this disalignment between comfortable, healthy, and happy, I realize that I'm talking professionally at stage three. I want to transform your marketing, Mr. CEO. What is it that you're bringing? Are you going to do ads? You're going to do me digital software? What are you? I said, no. Don't talk about the branches. I want to talk about the soil on which your tree is to be planted. I want to know what nutrients are in there. Excuse me? The point is, I go and I start talking to say, can you please ask your employees to talk about your brand? Because I don't understand something. I've spoken to five people. You've hired me to do your marketing advisory. But why are your employees not talking to me? I mean, about the brand. Why aren't they saying good, bad, and ugly? Everybody's being very diplomatically correct. Because if you're diplomatically correct, you're not bringing your passion, your truth out. You're not wrong. You have a perspective. So this is where I rambled on. When you address the well-being, you address the individual. When you make the individual comfortable and happy about him or herself, the individual's performance rapidly increases. How? Creativity and innovation comes out.
Yeah.
Why? Because somebody's appreciating me and telling me, hey, I believe in you. It's simple logic. And that process technically takes 16 weeks. I do that in the transformation and marketing that I do. I walk in, I help employees to build their personal brand. I ask them to create the strategy, which is my strategy framework. Everything comes from them, the team, the CEO, and the marketing, sales, and customer service. I break their silos off and say, nobody's in a department. You're all brand X. Your roles are XYZ. If you're customer facing, you're talking, you're answering after the automatic response is done. You're responding to the email. Maybe you're going a step further and picking up the phone. If you're sales, you're actually pre-booking a meeting. You got to sell in the brand. So it's all interconnected. And this is where kindness and well-being as two, kindness and happiness, my apologies, as two adjectives, as two descriptors come in. We individually ascertain, or we put our own filters, our own bias of interpretation on kindness and happiness. But if you step away and you look at it generically, who in the world doesn't want to be happy? But when you say, I'll be happy when I have my million, you're putting a condition. It's nothing to do with the million. It's to do with you being happy with what you have now, because now is the only thing that's real. What's gone is gone. You can't get it back. What's coming, you don't know. That's it. That's where kindness and happiness fits into my individuality, which I translate in my profession. I love what I do, but I do it differently without speaking geek or without, you know, getting a client all confused. It's very simple, human, one-to-one well-being. That's what it boils down to. When you're good, your brand's good. End of story. And your business gets growth.
Man, I love that. And you just, there is so much that you just dropped. I mean, we had several drop the mic moments in there. You think about it. You're speaking my language. I love several things that you said. One of the things is when you're talking about self-care, we spend 100% of our time with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So far too often, we're not kind in our self-talk. We're not kind in the way that we interact with ourselves. We don't connect with ourselves very well. And then on top of that, we understand that we need to be healthy physically. You know, we need to have physical health. But far too often, like you said, we're giving to other people. And we don't take the time to stop and think about the fact that if we're not taking care of ourselves physically, we're not taking care of our production capacity. If we're not taking care of our production capacity, we're not going to be able to give to anybody else, because we're going to break down just like a vehicle. If you don't take care of it, you don't maintain it, it'll break down over time and it's going to stop working.
Absolutely.
So,
and the main point here is, Randy, it's always important to remember, and more I meet people and I do work with clients, I see this. So many of us are only operating in the forefront. What I mean in the forefront is we are operating from just the cognitive forward part of the brain. We are not really working from the unconscious, because the answer is, hey, that's unconscious. I don't know it. And this is where I ask them, tap into it. Because if you want to be a great CEO as a leader, you want to, you know, really make your marketing transform, please spend a little bit of time and money and take this leadership behavior learning, which tells you about self-learning, self-awareness. Because when the self, when you as a leader become good, feel good, you pass those tips to your deputy CEO, to your general manager, to your senior people. It's a ripple effect. What starts on a Monday, by the time you come to Friday, five people have gone through that. Can you imagine the following Monday, you have a team that's really kicking in terms of creativity and innovation? That's number one, because what we think, the thoughts, you're right, self-talk, and 90%, 80%, I would say, and the data is easily found, is negative self-talk. Why is it negative self-talk? Because our brain is wired like in the caveman era. Yeah. Protect us from anything new. We know this. In spite of knowing it, we don't do anything about it. So here's what we are saying. Address it. Think. When you think better, we can help you understand your thoughts and help you think better. When you do that, you, not only you, the individual, becomes better, you automatically start having an impact around your immediate environment. That's happiness.
Yeah.
What do you want? If I have impact on one person, I'm done. Boom. To use a cliche.
Let's think about that, okay? I have created this a diagram called what I call the ta-da factor. You know, we hear somebody says a little kid might finish something, and they feel all happy about it, and they say, ta-da, you know, you think about it. Well, in our world, we become what we think about. And what we think about is going to determine what our attitudes are. And our thoughts and our attitudes drive our desires. And our desires inspire the actions that we take. And the actions we take create the habits that we form in our lives. And depending on whether our ta-da is positive or negative, it's going to determine whether or not we reap joy and happiness or misery and sorrow.
Correct.
So if we can train ourselves, if we can take control of our thoughts, attitudes, desires, actions, and habits, take control of our ta-da, then we can determine the outcome, and we have the ability to do that. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, being humans. We have the ability to make those choices. And
absolutely,
going back to something you talked about earlier, you know, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship, you know, having solid relationships is the key to success. That is the keystone of success. There's other factors that go into success, but if that keystone is missing, everything else falls apart.
True.
Well, what's the key ingredient in connection or in relationships? It's connection. It's the ability to connect to people.
Yep.
Recipe for connection. It's being kind. It's treating people with respect. It's treating people with dignity and showing the appreciation that you talked about. It's all about. That's why I loved what you said. And we live in a day and a time, and this has been, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and we may as well bring this up now. You talked about how COVID has been like the pin pulled out of the grenade. There were things that were simmering for years, but COVID has brought to the forefront.
Yep.
It, you know, the fact that if we need anything now more than ever, it is the ability to connect with and really have a good strong relationship with people, and to see people as people. What impact has the past 18 months of COVID had on your business, on your ability to interact with CEOs, on your interactions with CEOs, how you've related to them, and your business, of your goal of humanizing business?
Let me take it step by step. First and foremost, what's the impact that COVID has had on my business? So pre-COVID, I used to be an on-site in-person advisor, consultant, working either out of the client's office or for the client at another client's place where I was subcontracted by the organization that would hire me. All right. Part two of that is, where would I get these businesses from? 20-25% of it would come from LinkedIn work at that point in time, but 75% of it would come from networking events, client referrals, and stuff. Okay. The other thing I must also add is, while I live in Malaysia, most of my work happens across Middle East, India, Southeast Asia. I've done like 4 projects in the last 2 years in Malaysia specifically. Okay. COVID happened. So like a lot of companies, what happened? I couldn't go anywhere, right? I couldn't attend. There's no public networking events. I couldn't go for my breakfast networking meets. I couldn't go for my Friday evening networking team meets. Immediately, a pipeline disappeared. Okay. The second thing was, so everything went online or became digital. I stood back and I took stock. And I said, what do? I mean, I don't have online courses. I don't have, could have gone down that road, don't have road. And I said, hang on a second here. What do I have? I have experience. Let's break that down. I broke it down. Led me to my content pillars. And I said, okay, I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to actually flip LinkedIn on its head. I'm going to support it with Twitter. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to concentrate. And that journey over the last 18 months, or rather 1 year, led me to going from macro marketing, consumer marketing, down to my B2B specialization that I've spent more than 2/3. I've spent about 26 years out of my 33 years of corporate career in B2B service. And I went there. And then I just use my content and I create leads. And let me be very honest here for all your audience. I'm a consultant businessman who works in collaboration with two other partners and organizations remotely. One is in Dubai, one is in India. Okay. What is my targets, my financial targets? Am I like, hey, I need to make my next million? Heck no. I'm not in the game of being a serial entrepreneur or whatever. My goals are realistic for what my family, myself, and my sphere of life requires. So when I calculated back from a numerical financial perspective, I said, hey, great, if I have 5 clients, that's fantastic. And then I had this question thrown at me, why 5? I said, because I've just done the maths of the time we have, or let me phrase it, the time I would like to put, quality time that I would like to put with a client. And I find I can manage 5 clients with whom I can spend 7 days a month in person of 8-hour working days. You do the maths and you'll get the total number that I'm spending. I said, I don't want to move above that. And that's how I started humanizing business. I was a management consultant, a business management process systems consultant, working multidisciplinary, going from strategy to marketing to HR and, you know, corporate communication and everything since 2018. Last year, I said, my specialization, my niche is marketing. It's in B2B marketing. I understand people, how they think, how they behave, and I understand marketing, and I understand what's happening in the marketing world in terms of technology and channels. Let's marry them. So 9 months ago is where humanizing business came into being. And that's why the name. My passion is all about people matter. People make a business successful. We've got this adage from the time of, I don't know, Adam Smith, when he wrote, one man's expenditure is another man's income, right? But we've never, it's a great motto to hang on the wall, but nobody's done service to it. The employee-employer relationship for years, at least throughout my career, has been one of master-slave. I buy your time for a certain amount of money, you give me your skill. Boom, out. There's nothing else. So come back to relationships now. I did all of that. And then I found, what stops businesses from growing? And I'll tell you what, and you're going to get a lot of hate on this one. When you compete, when there's competition, you're cutting off relationships. So yeah, you're a financial service, you're a bank. Bank X and Bank Y do exactly the same thing. And they come to you, Randy. What are you going to select Bank X and Bank Y based on. The products are the same. The interest rates that you're going to get are the same because it's controlled by the feds. It's controlled by the central banks, et cetera, et cetera. The only decision factor, and I'm telling you, having worked financial services for 8 years, comes down to who am I talking with? What does that person stand for? How does that person represent Bank X or Bank Y?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the thought that I'm going to go with the company that it's going to be determined by how I feel when I'm working with them.
Bingo. That's why my LinkedIn banner says people like to feel good.
Yeah.
What I mean by that feel good and emotional stickiness is that when you approach from an individual perspective, I want to have a positive impact on Randy. All right. So now, the first step you got to do is to have a positive impact. You got to know what's on top of mind for Randy. What's really his, you know, I've misplaced my keys. I need to find my keys. That's right now, at this very minute, the most urgent thing on Randy's mind. I'm giving a very simplistic example. If I can help Randy find his keys or find his phone, which he's misplaced, is it with him in his bag or it's not in his pocket? Randy, can I give your phone a call or can I press something that can, your key ring will ring? Can I, that help, that action, it comes from a desire to have that positive approach. I want to make this person feel good. That's the best way I can put it in English, you know. When you approach it from there, your relationship starts sparking. Because what happens is, we as human beings have a lot of guards, a lot of blocks. The moment we can sense somebody's pitching, selling, trying to con, scam, boom, up comes the steel gates. But on the other hand, the moment we realize, hey, this person's actually trying to help me, we start getting attracted. And this is what I carry into the work. Create that attraction to make people feel good. It's not about Bank X and Y, your products, your services, or whatever. It's about the appreciation, respect, and understanding of what this person that you want as your customer is going through at this moment and needs. That's it. Now, this could be very altruistic, partly it is, but it's my approach in transforming marketing. For me, how I live my life is how I advise my clients on marketing strategy. The choice of accepting that strategy or not, to hire me or not, is the client's. That's fine. And I always walk with, if my values fit and align, we are meant to be. If not, there's another day. Let's live to fight that. Boom. That's it.
I love that. I love that because, you know, you're exactly right. You said earlier that the relationship between employees and leadership has been one of kind of, you know, my slave or what, you know, slave and boss type thing.
Yeah. Master and slave. That's right.
You know, and so, yeah, master and slave. And the fact is that people do like to feel good. They want to feel good about their work. They want to feel good about the people that they work with. They want to feel, like you said in the beginning, they want to feel appreciated. They want to feel like they have value. And you know, one of the things I talk to people about is, especially, I just spoke at a gratitude and appreciation summit specifically for high school kids and their parents. To remind the high school kids, and this is for leaders everywhere. It's not just the high school kids. This is for leaders everywhere. Think of these three power phrases. I am good. I have value. I make a difference. I am good because I see people as people and I treat them that way because kindness matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because kindness
Absolutely.
Matters. I have value because I'm one of a kind. I'm one of a kind. There's nobody else in this world like me. I'm priceless. And I make a difference every day because of the way that I approach life. And that's what you're saying. You're making a difference with the people that you work with because you are helping them to be able to see the human in the people that they're working with. They're helping them learn how to care about people. And when people know you care, when they know you, like you, and trust you, they're going to want to work with you.
Exactly. I mean, my approach, Randy, you just summed it up with those power statements. You see, going into teams, what has happened is you have to understand Up until 6, 7, 8 years of age, we have no biases, no conditions. We fall down, we learn, we keep going, doing what we are doing till our attention moves to the next thing. If you've looked at a toddler all the way up to, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of age, you'll find kids not stopping with what they're doing, whether it's on the computer or it's on an art block. But what happens as adults? We've built up so many self conditions limiting ourselves, believing that, hey, hard work is the only way, a 9-to-5 job is the only way to have great retirement. My dad used to tell me that. I'm getting into my retirement age, and I can tell you, I don't see in the next decade plus an opportunity to retire for the only simple reason, income. Now, my approach is I don't work like, you know, gently, therapy sessions, take back layer by layer. No. Have you chopped onions?
Yeah.
Ever? You cut the onion in half and then you go and it's diced out, right? So sorry for that sound effect. That's exactly what I do with teams. I literally go starting from the CEO, the executive director, the senior people. I always have three sessions and I sit them down. And at the end of three sessions, two things happen. We either sign on and we're on for the entire program and going forward, or they've all run away. And I can tell you right now, yes, I lose more if you want to use the term. I have 8 people out of 10 going away, but I'll tell you what, the 2 that stay, that's enough. Currently, I have clients with whom I'm doing their 4th round of projects. Yeah. It's only that factor. So you go, you cut through, you show them the way. Somebody has the vision to say, yep, I'm going to try this. This is new. It's going to work because everybody else is wearing that same pinstripe suit. So you know what? I'm going to put on a patchwork quilt suit and I'm going to go there. What's the worst that's going to happen? People are really going to look at me and say, you didn't get a pinstripe suit? But what I want is people to look at me. I want to stand out, right? As a brand, as a market, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Then the conversation starts.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you know, my goodness, we could keep going for a long time. We've been on here for nearly half an hour and the time to wrap up is coming close, but I want to give you the opportunity. Our audience, I would love to have you share with our audience 3 tips, 3 takeaways that you feel like will inspire them to and to carry away from this conversation.
Absolutely. In fact, maybe you'd use this as the clip, Randy. My top 3 tips I share with all CEOs, CMOs, and functional heads. I work in corporate and I work with corporate clients who are just like you and I, human beings and individuals with a lot of stuff in their heads about themselves. So please keep that as the backdrop as I give you these 3 tips. Tip number 1, be self-aware. What this means is that understand your own thoughts. That's what drives your action, because what you think is what you do. Even if you don't get it today, Google it up, read about it. Our thoughts trigger our feelings. Our feelings make us behave. That's how it works. And what we think is influenced by the words we tell ourselves and the words we hear. So self-awareness helps you to fortify what you're telling yourself. That's tip number 1. And that particular tip is like my keystone for leadership excellence for anybody. I'm not talking corporate. I'm not talking entrepreneurs. I'm talking individual human being. Lead yourself first. When you lead, you're self-aware, you will create an aura that will go out. Number 2, simple, and this everybody's heard. Do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. I don't think I need to elaborate on that. Keep it in mind, how you want to be appreciated and respected, that's what you need to start doing first in order to get it. Give in order to get. Over. Not like thinking I'm doing this so that I get that. No. Last tip. I mentioned this. Forget the sea of competition. Try and look up how the sea of collaboration works. By finding common interests, and joining the dots of individual performance or of business growth. I can tell you, two businesses coming together brings two sets of great people together. Creativity and innovation sparks. It expands the market. I'm again talking from a business perspective because that's where I play at. Collaborate. There's enough when you grow the market for everybody to feel good. And that's what I'll end with. These three tips: be self-aware, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself, and collaborate. All of this brings you health. Good, simple, comfortable mental health that helps you have physical health, that fuels you, makes you believe in yourself. That helps you act, which creates wealth, whether it's a wealth of friends, wealth of financial, whatever you want, but it's wealth. And lastly, the process of these two will make you have relationships that will stay with you far after your life is over, your physical life is over. And that, my friends and Randy, is what I believe in. That's the legacy. Joy was a lovely man. That word lovely is going to hold everything that you've done in your 80 years of life. Boom. The end.
What? Okay, so that was, wow. Drop the mic now. Let's just drop the mic right now.
I did.
I have to throw one other thing out there that I forgot to bring up earlier, but I've got to get the answer to this. Joy. Your name is Joy.
Yep.
How has that, having that name, impacted the kind of life that you've lived?
Names are very, very important. So let me just start with that. You see, one of the areas that I work in my marketing strategy is, I said this, is developing employee influencers. Employees as personal brands who are influencers is very key in the marketing strategy work that I do. And in that, I really emphasize about the value of one's name. And please remember, here are two reasons why. Our names are the first things we receive as a gift, as a baby, which are given by our loved ones, i.e. our parents, with a lot of love, hope, dreams, and aspirations. Everybody names their children with, even if it's Randy 2, but it's given because they want you to be like me or my grandfather or whatever it is, right? So my parents named me Joy for a reason. My name ethnically in my mother tongue means victory. Victory translates as success across languages, being, you know, I'm multilingual with 4 or 5 languages speaking. So I'm just saying that that's the name. I could not do anything beyond being joyful, so to say. Success, I translated that word success to say, can I go? My mission is to make people successful by understanding the value of simply being human. So when I worked, when I went through my entire student life and I went through my university and I worked my corporate career, it was all about me being, you know, you have the saying, you're the party creator, or you're the, you know, the what do you call it? The soul of this group, right?
Yeah.
Don't, there's a different shade. What's happening inside you is different, but if you are able to have that ability from your self-awareness and your thing to make somebody smile, that smile for 15 seconds stops that person's negative thinking, stress, and anxiety. Because when you smile, there's different chemicals that start triggering in your brain. So joy is my way of remembering my parents. God bless their souls, they're long gone. But I value this name and I've had it, and it's part of my personal brand. For that, that's one part, which is my respects to my parents. The other part is, can I be joy to the world? So let me try. I don't know the answer, yes or no. And I don't want to know the answer. My mission, individual mission is, let me touch you and leave you with a spot of joy, which is, how can you feel happy about yourself? If I can do that in my, with my resources, what's available with me, and my best gift to anybody is time. Yeah. Because we don't have a time bank, we can't buy time. I give you my time as my sense of appreciation and kindness to you. And I share what best I know from my life lessons. If you find joy I'm using that as a synonym to happiness. I'm grateful. That's it. That's all that is there in my name.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Joy, for being our guest today. If our audience wants to connect with you, how do they do that?
Best place, hop onto LinkedIn, get me on Twitter or on Instagram. LinkedIn is where I practically live, as Randy also knows. So just ping me a DM, connect, follow. And yeah, that's it. Happy to catch you all on there. You can even get me on YouTube, but LinkedIn is the main source.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joy. We so appreciate you being our guest today. We want to thank our audience for taking the time to listen to us. It's been a wonderful conversation. We appreciate the time that you've taken out of your day to be part of our show. I invite you as our audience to stay tuned to our next episode. We have another great guest coming on, a wonderful lady, a fiery red-haired mastermind of what she calls the intromercial, the queen of intromercials, a lady named Jane M. Powers. She's going to be our guest, and it'll be another fantastic conversation. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day and have a great week coming.
If you have suggestions for guests or discussion topics, please send a message via our anchor page at anchor.fm/kindness-happiness or send an email to randy@randymcneely.com with the subject podcast suggestion. Remember, kindness is a choice.
And happiness is a choice always. So choose to be kind and choose to be happy today, and good things will follow.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.